a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to our last episode of the Bing Crosby Show for the season. This episode features Burl Ives, and I was just learning some information I hadn't known about Burl Ives. During this time period that we are now entering, and for the previous year or so, Senator Joe McCarthy was starting to gain power in the Senate, and starting to start the whole Red Scare off, where saying he had a list of communists and so forth. And Burl Ives got caught in this, in the whole thing. Let me get a little more into that. Let's see. Burl Ives was identified in the 1950 pamphlet Red Channels, and he was blacklisted as an entertainer because he was supposed to have communist ties. In 1952, he cooperated with the House Un-American Activities Committee and agreed to testify. He stated that he was not a member of the Communist Party, but that he had attended various union meetings with fellow folk singer Pete Seeger, simply to stay in touch with working folk. He stated, "You know who my friends are, and you will have to ask them if they are communist." Ives' statement to the House American Activities Committee ended his blacklisting, so then he could go and perform again, and things were okay with him throughout the entertainment community. But it also led to a bitter rift between Burl Ives and many of the folk singers, including Pete Seeger. He accused Ives of betraying them and the cause of cultural and political freedom in order to save his own career. Burl Ives countered by saying that he simply stated what he had always believed. 41 years later, Ives reunited with Pete Seeger during a benefit concert in New York City, and they sang Blue Tail Fly together for the first time. So, just an interesting story about how the whole communist Red Scare thing, and that the book The Red Channels, which listed a whole bunch of people in entertainment as being communist, that it starts affecting lots of folks. So, and I've already covered a lot of the folks on Suspense were blacklisted and so forth in the 50s, and it would take away their entire career from the 1950s until like the mid 60s, until a lot of them came back. Some of them not till the 70s. So, just incredible the amount of damage that this did, and how many of them were true communists? Probably very few, if any. And a lot of them maybe just trying to find out what it was about, or it was like the kind of, I think it was like the hip thing to do was to check it out in the 1940s and 1930s. But then, of course, by the 1950s, it was considered very inappropriate thing to have ever done, to have ever even been to a meeting or anything. So, just an interesting time in our country's history. I played an interview from Meet the Press with Senator McCarthy. And, of course, if you want to learn more about this, a great movie to watch is Good Night and Good Luck, with the story of Edward R. Murrow taking on Senator McCarthy, that, of course, starred in and was, I think, produced and partially written probably by George Clooney. And just a really interesting movie there, too. I believe that's it's even has streaming on Netflix, so you can watch it. So, anyway, enjoy this performance of Burl Ives right before he was going to get blacklisted for a time. And I thought I'd mention, too, last night I posted the Jack Benny Show and talked about how he had thanked his previous writer, how Harry Caahn, and that Harry and he left on a bad scene, and that I was amazed that he thanked him and that sort of thing. But I was thinking about it afterwards. It was even worse because Harry Caahn left Jack without any script, and you just do not do that to a performer. You give them their 2 weeks' notice or even a week's notice, but you leave them with a script. And for him not to do that was the worst offense you can really do to another performer. And so I think that he and Al Boesberg, that Jack and Al Boesberg quickly came up with a script that was actually very good for when Harry Caahn left him hanging. But for Jack to, 12 weeks later, thank Harry Caahn, it just shows his tremendous amount of personal integrity. So, anyway, listen to that episode if you haven't that I posted yesterday. I hope you're enjoying the Warriors. In a couple days, we'll bring you some more Warriors. Tomorrow, we have another episode of Suspense, the true last episode of the season. After I made a big deal about last week's being the last episode, there's one more episode. But anyway, we'll see you next time.
Only one cigarette, Chesterfield, gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder plus no aftertaste.
So ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Jud Collins with the Bears and Bing's guests, Ken Murray, Burl Ives, and Miss Laurie Anders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our last broadcast of the season. Yes, this program marks the close of our current radio series. It marks the end of 39 weeks of hard and painstaking labor. And now, tottering toward the microphone is Bing Crosby.
Wheel me in, boys. Only one more to go.
Oh, Ken, thanks.
Glad you made it.
It's difficult for me to believe that we've really gone through 39 weeks. 39. Seems like only yesterday that we were doing our first broadcast of the season. Mm-hmm. Bob Hope was our guest, you remember?
Right. Yeah.
Man, we sure got off to a flying stop that night, didn't we?
Well, that was just bad booking on your part.
What do you mean?
You should have had him on this show.
I tried to get him, book him, yeah, but at the last minute he had to fly to Australia.
Bob had to fly to Australia? What for?
Well, they've just perfected a new breed of kangaroo down there. This new kangaroo has a zipper on its pouch.
A kangaroo with a zipper on its pouch?
Bob flew down there to pull the first zipper.
You mean Hope flew clear to Australia just to pull a zipper?
Now, don't be surprised. You know, anytime there's a grand opening, he'll go. All the All he wants is just a crowd, any group from 5,000 to 5,000 people, and he'll be there laughing, singing, selling ballpoint pens and dancing, passing the hat.
Well, that's our boy, all right. Anyhow, Bing, now that this is our last program until fall, what are you going to do this summer?
Well, Ken, did you happen to know that I'm a member of the Shoshone Paiute Indian tribe up in Nevada?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, I'm going up north into Montana to fish on the Flathead Indian Reservation.
Oh, you a member of the Flathead tribe, too?
No, but I think I could get in with very little trouble.
You have a point there.
Oh. Oh. Let me up. Well, one whack with a tomahawk will take care of that, huh?
Tell me, Bing, I'm interested to know, what do you do when you walk into a strange Indian reservation? What's the procedure?
Oh, well, I'm glad to help you out with anything that troubles you about this, because I'm really an expert. I'm a member of two tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ken, I usually ride in, I tie up my pony, throw my bow and arrows on the ground, put on my formal blanket. That's the one with the belt in the back.
Oh, yes, I'm on the task.
Then I braid my hair, that don't take a minute. And then I, and I walk up to the chief's teepee.
Yeah, and then?
And the chief and I have a little powwow. In the conclusion of our meeting, we smoke the peace cigarette.
The peace cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always thought the Indians smoked the peace pipe.
Boy, that's the end of you around here. Kenneth, it's the peace cigarette now. And do you know what the peace cigarette is?
Oh, it's got to be one of those milder Chesterfields.
Certainly. Chesterfield's a real peaceful smoke. As a matter of fact, Ken, most smoke signals are now done with Chesterfield.
Well, what do you know? Isn't that wonderful?
Well, after we smoke the peace cigarette, we ask the chief where the fish are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he opens up the deep freeze. He gives me a mess. I thank him, get him a pony. And I ride. And I ride off into the sunset.
Well,
see them a-tumbling down.
Dragging your fish behind.
Dragging my fish behind.
Well, that certainly is a nice arrangement.
Isn't it? You know something, Ken? I have another nice arrangement right here in my hand. It's by John Scott Trotter, and it's an arrangement of a new tune by Burke and Van Heusen, titled I've Got to Fall in Love Again. This is from nothing. It's just a popular song. Taking such liberties tonight. They know it's the last show, and they're just being as fresh as they can be. Be some new faces here in the fall, that's all I can say. But this is a brand new song. John, go ahead. I remember back in high school, I fell off of my horse. And what did my teacher tell me? Get back on, of course. Now that's a good rule to observe. So before I lose my nerve, oh, I've got to fall in love again. Give my all in love again. Turn on that moon above. I've just got to fall in love. I know a fella who bumped his head, made him crazy, the doctor said. But then he bumped his head once more, and now he's as good as he was before. So I've got to fall in love again, give my all in love again. Turn on that moon above, I've just got to fall in love.
Got to fall in love again, give my all in love again.
Turn on that moon above, I've just got to fall in love. I know a fella who dropped his watch, dancing the Charleston at a coffee clutch. It used to lose about an hour a day, now they use the time and rattlers on the Erie Irie. I knew a fella who was steeped in sin. He went to church and the roof fell in. He tasted the brimstone, saw the fire. Now he's singing second tenor in the young men's choir. So I've got to fall in love again, give my all in love.
love again. Turn on that moon above. I've just got to fall in love. Won't some kind of lady please drop her glove? I've just got to fall in love.
Hey, you know, friends, you know, you hear all kinds of advertising these days, but Chesterfield has always believed in just telling you the facts. Now, just recently, Chesterfield received a telegram from the Newington Foundation of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It tells about a survey and appraisal of cigarette advertising made by a panel of five members of the Faculty of Liberal Arts of the University of New Hampshire. The panel scrutinized and studied the advertising copy of five leading cigarettes, and here's what they found. I quote from the telegram. Only Chesterfield advertising was judged entirely free from misleading statements or false claims. This is the opinion of the panel. The honesty of your advertising is indicative of the honesty of your product. And the telegram is signed W. Keith Simpson, director of the Newington Foundation. Now, here's what that means to you.
When we say Chesterfield gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste, you know it's the truth.
And when we say Chesterfield is the best cigarette for you to smoke, you know that's the truth, too. Always buy Chesterfields because they satisfy. Now, folks, I'd like to present a great singer of ballads, our foremost exponent of American folk songs, Mr. Burl Ives. Thanks, Bing. Nice to have you with us, Burl, tonight because, you know, this is my last show.
Did you get fired?
No. Just leaving on vacation.
Well, have a good time, Bing, and don't forget to shave before you try to check into a hotel.
I'll hack everything. Say, you got a song for us?
Yeah, I got a little song I recorded here. It's kind of a spiritual.
Oh, I love spirituals. What's this one?
It's called Noah Found Grace in the Eyes of the Lord.
Oh, who wrote this?
A fellow by the name of Robert Schmertz. He's a teacher in Pittsburgh University.
Well, he'll be happy to hear that you're doing his song, I'm sure, and we'll listen to it very eagerly. Burl, go ahead.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he landed high and dry.
Oh, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky, said, I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day. I'll send a little water and I'll wash him all away. The Lord came down to look around a spell. There was Mr. Noah behaving mighty well. And that is the reason the scriptures record that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace.
The Lord said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be some water and there's going to be some mud. So take off your hat, Noah, take off your coat. Get him, Shem, and Jeff, and build yourself a boat. Noah said, Lord, I don't believe it could. The Lord said, Noah, get some gopher wood. You never know what you can do till you try. Make it 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he landed high and dry.
And Noah said, there she is, Lord. The Lord said, Noah, it's time to get aboard. Oh, take of each creature a he and a she, and of course, Mrs. Noah and your whole family. Noah said, Lord, it's getting mighty dark. The Lord said, Noah, get those creatures on the ark. Noah said, Lord, it's beginning to pour. The Lord said, Noah, hurry up and shut the door. Oh,
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry.
Oh, the ark rose up in the bosom of the deep. And after 40 days, Mr. Noah took a peep. Said, we're not moving, Lord, where are we at? The Lord said, you're sitting right on Mount Ararat. And Noah said, Lord, it's a getting mighty dry. The Lord said, Noah, see my rainbow in the sky. Take all your creatures and people the earth. But be sure you're not more trouble than you're worth.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed, I am dry.
That's very nice, Burl. That Dr. Schmertz of the University of Pittsburgh has got a nice little song there. I wish he'd go down to Forbes Field and do something for the Pirates. But, will you come back and sing another song with me later, Burl? Fine, fine. Now, if you excuse me, I've got some other business here. Folks, at this time, I'd like to present a big New York television star who is, this boy has been flown out here at great expense to himself. We have here the star of the Ken Murray Show, Mr. Ken Murray.
Well, hiya, partner.
Say, Ken, I want to tell you, this is real exciting. This is a considerable pleasure to us to have a big television star like you with us. What are you doing out here in this desolate land of radio and motion pictures? Do you come as a tourist to visit the old ruins?
Oh, I don't know, Bing. You look all right. Of course, I haven't seen Hope yet.
Oh, that's pretty frightening, I can
tell you. Tell me something, Bing. When are you going into TV?
You're not reaching me. You're just not getting through to me.
No, really. When are you going to get into that TV?
Oh, no, not
don't,
me.
Don't be bitter about it. Why don't you get into television and get your feet wet?
Oh, not me. Most of the people I know who went into television to get their feet wet, they're now going down for the third time.
Well, I don't know. Could I borrow that boy for New York?
We have a lease on that boy. He's a...
Well, if...
That's what you call an athletic laugher, isn't it?
Oh, yeah?
He just rears back and turns it loose, doesn't he?
I have a line here that I'm going to say. It doesn't fit anymore, but I'm going to say it.
I'll give you the straight line again. You want the straight line?
No, let's just do my line and see how flat it is.
Most of the people I know are gone down for the third time.
Well, if someone throws them a sponsor, they'll be all right. That's my line.
I don't think the line was much anyhow.
No, I think it'd have been better alone, to tell you the truth.
I think it'd be better just make a show around it. Yeah. Build the whole...
Yeah, we'll get a... Love that boy.
Isn't he a laugher?
Yes, he is. I can't understand you, Bing, though. I really can't. What became of the bubbling, energetic Bing Crosby that I used to know?
Here it is, right here.
Well, even so, I cannot understand you being a fugitive from television. Why don't you try it, Bing?
Television's dangerous. Did you know that?
What are you talking about, Bing?
Why, it's plenty dangerous. I read in the paper the other day about a guy that was on a television show. A fellow watching him recognized him as the guy who'd stolen his car.
Well, what has that got to do with you?
Well, suppose I go on television. Some guy sees me, puts the finger on me, claims I stole his car. Where am I then?
Oh, that happens to me every week.
Well, you ought to quit stealing cars, boy.
I don't mean that. All those things happened. About a month ago, right after my show, a fella called up and claimed I was the guy that stole his overcoat at Toots Shores. And then one time a lady called up and claimed that I was the fella that was stealing the milk off her porch every morning.
Well, Ken, that could be serious, you know. You could sue that lady for accusing you falsely.
Oh, I don't want to sue the woman, Bing. After all, we're neighbors.
I see what you mean.
But the top of the mall, Bing, was the night that some fella called up and claimed I had stolen his wife.
Get out. Some guy claimed you stole his wife?
Yeah, I tell you, Bing, he was the most grateful man I ever talked to.
I'll be darned.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of loot in television, Bing. You better get in there.
I can't worry about television now. I've got another big problem on my hands. Tomorrow I got to start on my vacation, Ken.
I bet you're desolate.
I just won't know what to do with myself.
Well, I've got an idea. I know a wonderful vacation spot for you, the Double Arrow Dude Ranch at Seeley Lake, Montana.
Double Arrow Ranch, huh?
Yep.
Well, thanks for the suggestion, Ken. That's nice, but I have a ranch.
It's so tough to get this guy anything for his vacation, isn't it? But Bing, there's a beautiful lake on this ranch.
Oh, thanks, Ken, but I have a lake.
I see. Mm-hmm. And this ranch is surrounded by gorgeous mountains.
I've got mountains.
Then how about a trip to Europe? Don't tell me you got a Europe, too, have you?
Oh, don't worry, I'll fritter away my time somehow this summer.
But Bing, you won't be happy loafing. I've got to find something to keep you occupied.
Well, now, maybe I could get a job modeling hammocks or contour chairs or something.
Well, you have the contour for it.
I'll wait for it. I bulge right?
Yes, sir. I know what you can do, Bing. You can work with me. You know, you can help me write songs.
Wait a minute. Help you write songs?
Yeah, certainly. Haven't you heard? I'm now known as the Stephen Foster of television.
I thought that was Nick Kinney.
No. I've just written a tone poem of Americana entitled I Like the Wide Open Spaces.
Did you write that?
I've
heard it. It's good. It's a good song.
It sold over 200,000 copies the first 2 weeks.
200,000 copies. Wow. Say, is it too late to write that one with you? I could dash off a few catchlines, you know. Just get a few yells down at the
end. I'm sorry you've missed the boat there, partner.
Well, I got a boat, too.
No.
But I like the way that little girl on the Budweiser show. That's your show, isn't it? The big TV show.
That's the old Anheuser-Busch.
Under the old Anheuser-Busch.
Oh boy. Right. Good old Budweiser every Saturday.
Say, what's the girl's name? Laurie Anders?
Yes.
She's real cute. She sings that I like the wide open spaces. She's a cute chick.
Well, it so happens I've got Laurie with me tonight. Would you like to meet her?
Say, we'd all like to meet her.
You know, Bing, Laurie is a real Western gal.
Where's she from?
Comes from a little town called Goose Egg, Wyoming.
That's the real name of the town?
Goose Egg? Where is that?
I don't believe I know that town.
About 12 miles from Casper, Wyoming.
I don't believe I know it. How big is it?
Well, it isn't very big. Hmm? It has a post office and a nightclub and two telephones.
A post office, a nightclub, and two telephones. Well, why the two telephones?
Well, that's so the postmaster can phone the nightclub for a reservation. Now that you and Laurie are here, why don't we head for the wide open spaces, huh? What do you
say? Well, that's okay with me, partner.
Well, how do you get Laurie into this routine? What's the magic gimmick?
Yeah. What's the magic word?
Yeah.
Just one word. You
oh,
know.
Oh, I know. Cowboy.
I like the wide open spots.
There she goes.
I help where the pack is great. Where two guns beat four ices. I like the wide open spots.
Now, I'm a man that's aggravated. Got trouble, female kind, like a horse that's single-gated. She's got a one-track mind.
Now, some gals like their silks and satins, a diamond or bouquet. When I ask my gal what she likes, well, here's what she'll always say.
I like the wide-open spots. I help where the pack is great. Gone. Where two guns beat four ices. I like the wide-open spots.
I like the wide-open spaces. Out where the cactus grows, where two guns beat four aces. I like the wide open spaces.
The top man of the Wahoo Nation, they call me Super Chief. Catch him squaw at the railroad station, catch him plenty of grief. Breaking her up, me like thunder round the rounder. She started in to squawk, she made me chief. Holding the head with her engine tomahawk.
Lauren! I like the wide open spaces. Where two guns beat four ices. I like the wide open spaces.
I like the wide open spaces. Out where the cactus grows. Where two guns beat four aces. I like the wide open spaces.
I took my gal a horseback riding, moonshining high above. Found my arm around her sliding, I started talking love. When I puckered up to kiss her, she started in to shout. She hit me with her loaded pistol, knocking my front teeth out.
I like the wide open spots.
Well, I blew my
front teeth. I have where the cat is great.
Dr. Cow,
where
please.
Two guns beat four ices.
All is this.
I like the wide open spots.
I like the wide open spaces. Out where the cactus grows. Where two guns beat four aces. I like the wide open spaces.
Oh, man. Man, you can't beat the New West, can you? If you ever come to Elko, I'd lose every cowhand on the place. Thank you, Laurie, and thank you, Ken. That was lots of fun. Now, if Burl Ives is back, you ready, Burl? You know the big song of the year is Old Smokey. Burl, do you think you and I can handle that?
Sure, Bing. Start it off, and I'll slide in somewhere.
I'll make an effort. John Scott has a beautiful arrangement here that I think you'll like.
Good.
Top of Old Smokey, all covered with snow, I lost my true lover from a courtin' too slow. For courtin's a pleasure, and parting is grief. A false-hearted lover is worse than a thief. A thief will just rob you. And he'll take what you have.
And take what you have.
But a false-hearted lover.
A false-hearted lover.
Will lead you to the grave.
Lead you to the grave.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
And tell you.
A mighty important selling job to do here tonight.
How's that, Ken?
Well, what we tell the folks about Chesterfield now has to last all summer.
Not at all, Ken. Chesterfield speaks for itself. Whether we're here or not, Chesterfield goes right on being the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Bing. Because only Chesterfield gives you those famous ABCs. Always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking.
Yep, when you smoke Chesterfields, you get all that plus the added pleasure of no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
Science discovered it, and you can prove it. Science discovered that of all brands tested, only Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. And you can prove it by smoking Chesterfields. They taste better, and after you smoke them, no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yep, that's the straight story. You remember that telegram we read you? When Chesterfield says it, you know it's the truth. So always buy Chesterfield.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
So home, open a pack and give them a sniff,
then you smoke them.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Every cloud you see, fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow.
good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet.
Till we meet.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Wonderful audience. Now my thanks to Ken Murray, to Laurie Anders and Burl Ives for joining us tonight. And before shoving off, I'd like to also thank the large and industrious staff that makes this program possible. And deep appreciation, too, to all our listeners and to the Chesterfield people who prime the pump heavily on this little operation. They're wonderful folks to work for, and you can take it from me, Chesterfield's a smoke for you. We'll be back in October, folks, and now just for old time's sake, don't you think we ought to let Ken Carpenter have one more word here?
Who, me?
Yes. Don't you think we should leave the folks with a thought for the warm vacation months?
Oh, that's a good idea, Bing. Just remember, folks, that only Chesterfield gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. Science discovered it, and you can prove it by smoking Chesterfields. It's been wonderful being with you this year, and we'll be back for Chesterfield again in the fall. Till then, I want you to have a real good summer. And when you pack for that vacation trip, don't forget what I've been telling you about Chesterfields. Vacation time, anytime. Chesterfield's the best cigarette for you to smoke. See you then next fall for Chesterfield, huh? Good night and thanks.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. We'll be back in October for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our new summer show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads inaugurates a series of new musical plays and operettas created especially for the Railroad Hour, and starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Dorothy Warren Show. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight and every Monday night, the world premiere of a new operetta is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Dorothy Warren Scholl will sing the role of Mary Parker in Beautiful Dreamer by Lawrence and Lee. And I shall be an old friend of yours named Steve. You wouldn't recognize his face, and you never shook his hand, but Steve is a good friend of yours just the same. You've met him in melodies like this.
Weep no more, my lady. Oh, weep no more today. We will sing one song for my old Kentucky home. For my old Kentucky
have a home in Kentucky. He never really had a home any place, except in the hearts of the people who loved his songs.
Camptown ladies, sing this song. Do-da, do-da. Camptown racetrack by my home. Oh, do-da day. I come down there with my hat caved in. Do-da, do-da. Go back home with a pocket full of tin. Oh, do-da day. Wind around all night, wind around all day. Spend my money on a bobtail nag. Somebody bet on the bay.
The long-tailed billy and the big black hoe.
Doodah, doodah.
They fly the track and they both cut across.
Oh, doodah day. To buy my chicken in a big mud hole. Doodah, doodah. Can't touch bottom with a 10-foot pole. Oh, doodah day. Wind around all night. Wind around all day. Bet my money on a bobtail nag.
Bet my money on a bobtail nag.
Somebody bet on the bay.
That's a nice, spirited melody. How much is it?
38 cents. But we have a special this week only, ma'am. Any three Stephen Foster songs for just $1.
This isn't by Stephen Foster. It can't be. He only writes sad songs.
Oh, no. He used to write happy music.
But that was many, many years ago.
What?
Who is this man?
I don't know.
Excuse my appearance. I'm a customer.
I'll take that song, young lady. You needn't wrap it. I had no idea this music store catered to trash.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have come in here.
No. Please, let me help you.
Well, do you have a song called Come Where My Love Lies Dreaming?
Yes. May I sing it for you?
That would be very kind of you.
Here it is. Let me see now. The key is E flat.
Real meaning for you.
Oh, I love all of Mr. Foster's songs, but I think this is my favorite.
Is it? Is it really your favorite? I know it by heart.
Come with a lute, come with a lay. My own love is sweetly dreaming, her beauty beaming. Come where my love lies dreaming, is sweetly slumber, thoughts bright and free, dance through her dreams like gushing melody.
Light is her young heart, light may it be. Come where my love lies dreaming.
three copies of that song?
Why, certainly. That'll be $1.
But you don't understand. I don't have any money.
Well, we can't just give songs away.
Yes, I know. But you see, it's my song.
Your song? You're Stephen Foster?
I don't expect you to believe me.
Oh, but I do. I do believe you, Mr. Foster. The way you sang that melody.
It's been hard times lately.
Here, take the music.
Thank you, my child.
You look thin. Are you hungry?
No.
Please, let me tell my grandchildren that I once had a luncheon guest named Stephen Foster. Another bowl of soup, Mr. Foster?
Well,
it'll warm you up. You know, that's the trouble with New York City. Too cold in the winter, too hot in the summer.
That's the trouble with friendship. You either have too many friends or none at all.
Why are you so lonely, Mr. Foster? Was there a girl?
A girl? Of course. There was Jane.
Well, you never wrote a song about Jane. Katie Bell, Laura Lee, Nellie Bly.
Don't you remember?
I dream of Janie with the light brown hair.
That's not the way it goes.
That's the way I wrote it. But Jane thought it was too public that way.
It's too public that way, Steve.
But Jane, I thought you'd be pleased.
I'm not a lady of the chorus, Steve. I'm your wife. And I don't want your love for me to be a commodity in six sharps.
But Janie...
With every minstrel company and every showboat from Pittsburgh to New Orleans singing about Janie. Janie with a light brown hair. I won't have it, Steve.
All right, I'll change it then. But every time you hear it, my darling, my bride, remember, it was written for you.
I dream of Jeanie with a light brown hair, born like a vapor on the summer air. I see her tripping where the bright streams play. Happy as the daisies that dance on her way. Many were the wild notes her merry voice would pour. Many were the blithe birds that
I don't know.
She's dead?
I don't think so. We just decided to go our separate ways. I'm not a very good provider, I'm afraid. You see, Jane and I loved each other. But I guess we just weren't very good friends.
I'm sorry, Mr. Foster.
I don't know what's happening to me. So many of my songs are about dreaming. It's coming now, so I can't tell the dreams from the truth. I don't know if I'm honestly here talking to you or if it's just in my mind. I'm all swallowed up in dreams. I can't tell the truth from the lies and the real from the unreal. I'm lost halfway between real life and dream life. Oh, help me. Help me find my way.
We'll return for the second act of Beautiful Dreamer in just a moment. Wednesday, the 175th anniversary of America's Declaration of Independence, has deep meaning for all of us. For on that day, the birthday of our nation, we will again pay tribute to brave men who demanded an end of tyranny. Men who declared a new liberty which guaranteed freedom of thought and action for everyone. This belief inspired those who declared their independence and who fought bitter years earning it, opening the way for the establishment of democracy in the United States. Under our democratic system, we Americans produce more and live better than any other people on earth. This is due first to the institutions which our forefathers gave us. But the fact that we enjoy such plenty as the world has never known before, and such as is known nowhere else today, is also due in part to transportation, which made it possible for America to be truly united. In the beginning, mighty stretches of wilderness separated the people of one coast from those on the other, and inland communities were able to gain only a foothold. With the coming of the railroads, however, our continent was kept a unit politically and made a unit commercially. For the first time in thousands of years of recorded history, it was possible for an entire continent to be welded into a unit. The early railroads moved constantly into the wilderness, opening new areas, creating markets for the products of farms, mines, and forests, and supplying those pioneers who operated them. Little shops became large factories, small towns became cities. When America got her railroads, she started to grow. And nothing could stop her. And because the railroads and the nation have grown together, the railroads on this Independence Day again pledge to do their part to keep America strong, to go forward with it to the great destiny that lies ahead. Now here is the second act of Beautiful Dreamer, starring Gordon McRae as Stephen Foster and Dorothy Warrenschold as Mary Parker.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee.
Help me. Help me find my way.
Oh, Mr. Foster, why don't you try to think back to the happiest time of your life?
The happiest time?
Yes. Try and remember when you had no cares, nothing to be afraid of. Everything smiles and music.
There was a time like that when I was young. Oh, Lord, how young I was. Jane and I took a river trip on one of the old paddle wheelers all the way to New Orleans. It was our honeymoon, really.
It's our honeymoon, Steve. Come out and watch the lights go by on the shore.
I've been working on a song, dear.
Another song? Oh, what's the point of it, Steve? Oh, your little jingles are nice for parlor entertainment, but, well, I do wish you had a substantial job like, oh, a floor walker or a bookkeeper. Then I'd really be proud of you, Steve.
But listen to this one, Janie, and I think you'll be proud of me.
I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night the day I left, the weather it was dry. The sun so hot I froze to death, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. For I'm going to Louisiana with my banjo on my knee.
And we're going to Louisiana, Jane. I wrote this song for us.
Oh, it does have a nice lilt to it, Steve.
I had a dream the other night where everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna, she was coming down the hill. The buckwheat cake was in her mouth, the tear was in her eye. Says I am coming from the south, Susanna, don't you cry.
Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I'm going to Louisiana with my banjo on my knee.
Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me.
What happened, Mr. Foster? In the music store, oh, we sell thousands of copies of your songs. I'd expect you to be a rich man.
Well, other people got rich from my songs, but I never did. Somehow, I just don't know how to sell things. Once, years and years ago, I took one of my songs to the greatest minstrel man of them all, and I was shaking in my boots.
Yes, yes, what is it, boy?
Mr. Christie, I have a song I thought perhaps you could use in your show.
Sorry, boy, we only employ the compositions of established masters of the melodic art.
Mr. Christie, listen to my song, please, and see if you don't like it.
There's a piano, son. I'll give you 2 golden minutes of my valuable time.
Thank you, Mr. Christie.
Way down upon the Peedy River, far, far away, there's where my heart is turning ever, there's where the old folks stay. All up and down the whole creation, sadly I roam, still longing for the old plantation and for the old folks at home. All the world I'm sad and dreary,
a mellifluous piece of music, my boy. But what's the name of that river?
The Peedy, sir.
Don't like it. How about the Yazoo? No, that's worse. I have an inspiration. Make it way down upon the Hudson River.
Well, it's supposed to be a southern song.
True, true. Well, my boy, there's a fine map of the Republic here in this atlas. We shall peruse it together. Let's see, there's the Rappahannock, Monongahela, the Susquehanna, all too long.
Say, here's a little river with an interesting name. Here in Florida. Flowing into the Gulf. The Suwannee.
Still too long.
Well, we could shorten it. The Suwannee River. I like that. The Suwannee River. Never saw the place in my life, but it's beautiful.
You don't suppose the folks in Florida will object to your changing the name of their river?
Object? Way down there? Why, they'll never even hear of the song. Listen, sir.
Down upon the Suwannee River, far, far away, there's where my heart is turning ever, there's where the old folks stay. All the world I'm sad and weary, everywhere I roam. Oh, river, my heart grows weary, far from the old folks at home.
I'll use that refrain in my minstrel show, my boy, and I would even charge you for the privilege.
Mr. Christie, you'd have to give me something.
Look here, boy, I practically wrote the words to the song. Suppose I give you $10 for the right to declare that I am the sole author and composer, eh?
Oh, please, Mr. Christie, can't you make it $15?
Well, I've a generous nature, but you drive a hard bargain, son, a hard bargain.
How could you be so foolish, Mr. Foster?
Well, I needed the money.
Are you still writing melodies? If you could bring out a thrilling new song, why, well, it could be the new beginning of life for you.
The way you say it, it almost seems possible.
What's that?
Oh, it's just an old piece of brown wrapping paper.
With notes scribbled on it. It's a song.
Yes, I keep hearing music, all mixed up with the dreams and the nightmares. And I have to write it down.
Let me see the song. Oh, Published, Mr. Foster?
I don't even have music paper to write it down.
I'll copy it for you. Then I'll give it to Mr. Waters at the music store.
You're a gentle heart and a dear friend.
Where do you live?
In the back of a grocery store at 15 the Bowery.
Please be there tonight. I'll bring you the copy. Oh, Doctor, you must help me. I went to his room, and they told me an ambulance had brought him here.
Which of our patients are you inquiring about, miss?
My friend Stephen, a great composer.
Oh, you have the wrong place, miss. This is the charity ward. There wouldn't be anybody like that here.
Oh, you must help me. It's Mr. Foster, Stephen Foster.
We do have a Forrester, no first name indicated.
Let me see him.
Right this way. There was no identification, just a slip of paper in his pocket that said, Dear Friends and Gentle Hearts.
Oh, it was the title for a new song.
Here.
Oh.
I'm afraid there's nothing anyone can do. I can't believe this is Stephen Foster. I thought he died years ago.
Perhaps he did. Stephen?
Janie? You're just part of a dream. And a riverboat. That's part of a dream. And a girl in a music shop. A dear friend. A gentle heart. She wanted me to live again. But she's just part of the dream, too. Just part of...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Dorothy Warren's show will be back in just a moment. And meanwhile, our thanks to Shirley Mitchell, Bill Foreman, Marvin Miller, and our entire company. Beautiful Dreamer, based on the music and life of the immortal Stephen Foster, was an original libretto by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Railroads are at the very heart of America's rearmament program. Look at any industrial city in America, and you see a beehive of activity. And in the midst of it all are freight trains, bringing in raw materials, taking out finished products. Yes, those trains start at mines and forests, run to mills and factories, and then distribute the products where they are needed in our civilian commerce, or for our national defense. Because railroads do this essential job and do it with unequaled efficiency, it is important that they receive the steel and other materials they need to further expand their transportation capacity.
Gordon, you know, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to be your leading lady this summer.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Dorothy. And next week, we're stepping up to the plate for a brand new musical based on the famous Casey at the Bat. And we're going to tell the story of why Casey struck out.
See you next week, champ.
Well, I'll be in the bullpen warming up my vocal cords.
All aboard!
Folks, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so, until next Monday, and our musical version of Casey at the Bat, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye.
Gordon McRae appeared through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, producers of Alfred Hitchcock's Strangers on a Train. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Hear the voice of Firestones on NBC.